Perhaps I do this every week, but I remember at least a little bit about last week. Oops. Anyway, last week I spoke of the point of our practice of meditation is not to become Buddhists, not to become even good meditators, not to become great sutra masters or anything about some kind of presentation of the Buddha Dharma, but to experience, as the Buddha used the expression, the sure heart's release, that the whole point of the direction of practice that is often described as seeing through the self-illusion, the whole idea of seeing the selflessness of this body, that it's made up of all the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and all the influences that have, the beginningless influences that have come together to make us, that it's not just about seeing that through the illusion of separateness. It's not just about seeing that your thoughts think themselves or the feelings arise and pass unbidden and they come and they go. Not just to see this and say, wow, I see this. The whole point of it, of seeing through this illusion of separateness, is to unleash our caring hearts, to unleash our love. And I think this week we've been offered one of those moments where a natural disaster in some way becomes a kind of shortcut to seeing through the illusion of separateness. And quite naturally, without a lot of practice, and this is a reminder that what we awaken to is what is intrinsic in us, but quite naturally, many of us, most of us, if we have a heart at all, have felt our hearts break in the face of this this world disaster in Japan. And through the day today, I didn't know why this chant was going through my mind, and this chant has gone through my mind quite often for the last 30 years. Let's see, now I'm dating myself. It's now 42 years ago I learned this chant. Let's see, 80, yeah, 33 years ago. But this chant kept floating through my mind. In fact, I shared it here a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks or a month ago, and it was the words of Neem Karoli Baba, whose words were put to music by Jai Utal. And I thought that we would chant it together tonight to remember that we have this moment where we can actualize what he was trying to suggest in this chant. I'll do it once by myself, and then we can do it a few times. A little bit of a change of pace here. So it goes like this. I am like the wind. No one can hold me. I belong to everyone. No one can own me. The whole world is my home. All are my family. I live in every heart. I will never leave thee. Oh, crystal tears. Oh, taking away my fears. Try it with me. I am like the wind, no one can hold me. I belong to everyone, no one can own me. The whole world is my home, all are my family. I live in every heart, I will never leave thee. Oh, crystal tears. Oh, taking away my fears. Once more. I am like the wind, no one can hold me. I belong to everyone, no one can own me. The whole world is my home, all are my family. I live in every heart. I will never leave thee, O crystal tears. Oh, taking away my fears. Thank you for chanting with me. So this is one of those moments where we can sense that that we are like the wind, that we are at our deepest nature, that invisible force that pervades everyone and everything, I'm like the wind, no one can hold me. I belong to everyone, no one can own me. That widening circle of caring that naturally comes forth. We don't feel like separate people when in the face of the kind of suffering that, it's going on every day in the world, but it's times like this when it wakes us up out of the stupor or the absorption of our own internal drama, and we come out of that tangle of our own individual issue, and that caring naturally begins to flow again from our hearts. And I've been so touched by what little, unfortunately, I was leading a retreat over the weekend, traveling, and the little bits of information that have been coming my way are small. And then I've been meeting with people this week up until this evening. But some of the things that I've heard are just so inspiring. Besides the unspeakable suffering and grief in many people's lives and tremendous fear and loss and so much, there have been amazing acts of selflessness, which is just another reminder that I'm sure it took no consideration, not much consideration for the 50 people who are now sequestered inside this nuclear power plant, who've basically given themselves a slow death sentence, kind of the living, what do they call it, the dead men walking, by staying to make sure that I guess each reactor required 51 gallons of water per minute in order to keep it from melting down, and they've just been dealing, putting out one fire after another, literally and figuratively. And just that expression of selflessness, which I think is our birthright, it's our nature, but we've gotten we get so wound up in our self-interest, and especially in this culture. And the reason I say in this culture, because another story that I heard today, many of you may have heard this already, but there was just a small little anecdote of a shop in somewhere near the area of Japan where the reactors were threatened. People went into the shop to get their basic needs, their water and some food, etc., and they were lined up at the cash register waiting to pay their money, and the person who was running the cash register could not open the cash register. I'll just back up by saying there has been no looting. It would never happen that way here. Let's just be honest. No looting. But in this case, not only was there no looting, but the people waited patiently, graciously, and then when they realized that the person could not possibly open the cash register, they all put their items back on the shelves and left. This is a reminder of how civilized human beings can be. What happens when a culture is much more much more, not saying it doesn't have its shadows, its oppression, its myriad problems, but a culture that is built around the community, that's built around selflessness, that's built around that not about, it's not built around the elevation of the individual and each person for themselves. And you can see the continuum in this country. There are a whole swath of people who are would do exactly what the Japanese people did in this particular place. But there is a whole side of our culture that would be in there thinking, what can I get for me? And for me, this is a moment to for our hearts to just break in our caring for the suffering that's going on and the appreciation for the heroism and the beauty that's come forth and other stories of amazing acts of kindness and caring. People just stop someone and say, do you need something? Can I help you? And it's a beautiful thing. But this is also a time for us, I think, to let it be the cause of, as the Tibetans would call it, cause of turning our mind toward the Dharma, using this to remind ourselves of, for example, as the Tibetans do, to remind ourselves of the preciousness of our lives, the preciousness of our near and dear ones, the preciousness of our, and the shortness of our time here. It's so easy to think we have time. And that reminds us then the second reflection that the Tibetans often engage in is the reflection on the reality of impermanence, which is really embedded in the first one. What part of what makes our life precious is the fact that it can end in any moment and it will end. To anyone who is birth or death is the result to anyone who is born. And in this case, we clearly have to be reminded that the time of death and how we will die is completely uncertain. But that shouldn't be the cause of fear. And what we often do in our self-interest is go into fear and worry. But what we do in our communal interest is we go into seeing what we can do to help. How can we ease each other's pain and stress of being born into a world that is completely in a state, a pretty continual state of uncertainty, where it's very hard, where another one of those reflections that the Tibetans engage in is what they call reflecting on the defects of samsara, that everybody's life is marked with dissatisfaction, frustration, that which is difficult to bear. And rather than be worried about this, our opportunity is to stay in a state of goodwill and love. In fact, even cultivate it more. And cultivate a complete commitment to acting in a way is not causing any harm. So this may be a strange thing to do tonight, but I thought that we would all, because we do live communally, in spite of our thoughts that we live completely apart. Even though if you go into a cafe now, most everyone is in their little electronic pods, and people do hide in their cars and hide in their homes. We are not on the streets like you find in other cultures. But nevertheless, in moments, and perhaps this is a moment where we can realize that we don't exist apart from each other, that we're quite intimate and connected at all times, whether we know it or not. And then in that light, commit ourselves to at least the basic training guidelines that the Buddha offered that I think are useful for all. I brought along a kind of hybrid version of Thich Nhat Hanh's training for non-harming. You can do these inwardly if you're open to it. Number one, aware of the suffering caused by violence. I undertake the training to refrain from killing or committing violence toward living beings. I will attempt to treat all beings with compassion and loving kindness. 2. Aware of the suffering caused by theft, I undertake the training to refrain from stealing, from taking what is not given. I will attempt to practice generosity and will be mindful how I use the world's resources. Aware of the suffering caused by sexual misconduct, I undertake the training to refrain from using sex in ways that are harmful to myself or to others. I will attempt to express my sexuality in ways that bring joy and feelings of connection. Aware of the suffering caused by harmful speech, I undertake the training to refrain from lying, from harsh speech, from slander, and from idle speech. I will attempt to speak and write in ways that are both truthful and appropriate. Aware of the suffering caused by alcohol and drugs, I undertake the training to refrain from misusing intoxicants that dull and confuse the mind. I will attempt to cultivate a clear mind and an open heart. In general, we can really commit ourselves. It's one of the ways that we can use our conceptual mind to incline ourselves toward that heart that is big as the world, where we are like the wind, no one can hold us, that we belong to everyone, no one can own us. The whole world is our home, all our family. We can do as the Dalai Lama does every day. I think we are born with the capacity to be altruistic, to be responsive, to be sensitive to our interdependence, but it's very easy to forget. So the Dalai Lama, in spite of what seems like a naturally expansive heart, every day, this is the passage that he is said to repeat. He says, in one of his talks, he says, to close with, I would like to share a short prayer which gives me great inspiration in my quest to benefit others. May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with oceans to cross, a bridge for those with rivers to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need. How many of you had one of those kinds of thoughts today? I'm sure there are a few people here who have altruistic intentions. But this is a possible. Our minds are just as the Japanese were. They were trained in some way by their culture to be sensitive, to be gracious. I can't vouch for whether the intention behind it is wholesome or unwholesome, but you can see that their actions are conditioned. Our actions are conditioned. Our tendency to be caught up in our own internal world, our own struggles, our own individual situation, that's learned, it's conditioned. We're not taught from the time we're born to think of others, to be a protector, to be a healer. This is something that we have not necessarily been taught. It's something we can learn. So if anybody wants to copy this down before we leave tonight, I'm happy to share it. It's short, so it's easy to remember. In our tradition, the Theravada tradition of Buddhism, the tradition that practice of insight meditation has been kind of carried, the vessel of insight meditation, the teaching, the Theravada is the the tradition, the Theravada tradition is considered, the Thera means elders. It's the teaching of the elders. It's the oldest of the sutras of the Buddha. In the Theravada tradition, the very important sutra that has this spirit of the wide circle of affection, of purifying our hearts for the benefit of all beings, is the famous, maybe one of the most famous sutras, called the Metta Sutta. And I brought a copy along tonight for all of us to ponder and to listen to. I feel as though these words are, they're holy. So this is the Metta Sutta. And then I thought that we would chant a little hybrid version of the Metta Sutra together. The Metta Sutta. This is what should be done by those who are skilled in goodness and who know the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways. Wow. Peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none, through anger or ill will, wish harm upon another. Even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies, downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. The chant. Ready for it? Essentially, this chant goes like this: May by this practice, in accord with the true Dharma, I honor the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. The Buddha is that capacity of being awake, to awaken any moment, to be awake. The Dharma is the truth, the law, the way things are, this moment as it is. The teachings. I honor the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, the community. I honor my mother, my father. I honor my teachers. May all beings, all living things, all creatures, individuals, all personalities, all females, all males, all noble ones, all who are not so noble, all deities, humans, those in unhappy states, may they be free from enmity, mental suffering, physical suffering, take care of themselves happily. May they be free from suffering. May they enjoy safety and abundance. May they have their karma as their true property. May all beings be happy. Well spoken. So here's the Pali. We'll chant it together. This has been, flavors of this have been chanted for thousands of years. So each time, at least when I chant this, it punctuates that altruistic intention, that reminder that my life can be dedicated to the welfare and benefit of other beings. So we'll do this call and response. Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Buddham Pujami Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Dhammam Pujami Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Sangham Pujami Sangham Pujami Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Mata Pitunam Pujami Mata Pitunam Pujami Imaya Dhammanu Dhamma Patipatiya Acharyanam Pujami Sabe Sata Sabe Panna Sabe Bhuta Sabe Pugala Sabe Atabawa Pariyapanna Sabha Itiyo Sabe Purisa Sabe Arya Sabe Anarya Sabe Dehiwa Sabe Manusa Sabe Winipatika Sabe Winipatika Awerahontu Apyapajahontu Apyapajahontu Anigahontu Sukhiyatanam Pariharantu Harant Dukkhamuchantu Yata Lada Sampatito Mahuigachantu Kamasaka Sabe Sata Sukhi Hontu. Together, sadhu, three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That means well-spoken, 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 or excellent, excellent, excellent. So I know that this is just a this is a formality of invoking these intentions and these sentiments, and the real practice is to let the spirit become embedded in our hearts and turn this not just into thoughts but into actions of our body, actions in our speech, and actions in our thoughts. So it's but this is a start, and so this time asks us to keep our eyes open, to let ourselves be touched, to let this event even be rather than the cause of our fear, which is why so many poems of so many poets like Wendell Berry says, let's see, I may have brought it with me. He says, come into the peace of wild things, to, you know, stay here. Come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. A lot of people right now, and naturally, as our organism, we start to be afraid. I felt a little fear today, not so much for myself, but I have a 7-year-old at home. And what happens if we do get a big cloud floating this way? And it's easy to spin out. But do we want to then act out of fear, or do we want to? There's really one. There's two choices: either fear and contraction, and me and mine, or is it to stay in a state of love? And it doesn't mean that you don't take care of yourself, but that you keep your heart open. You let it breathe, even if it's with grief. You let it breathe. You let yourself feel. A continual reminder that our hearts are, that we can recover that greatness of heart, that we are trainable, even if we've gotten so much lost from our sense of community and our sense of connection. We just, by inclining our actions and our thoughts, we can connect again. And so not to let this moment where we've been offered a little jolt, not let ourselves go back to sleep. Use it as a reminder. Use it as a kind of urgency to be good to each other. Simple in one way. Be good to ourselves, good to each other. Remember that we don't exist apart from each other. But it doesn't mean... Last thing I really wanted to say is it doesn't mean that we have to be unhappy because there is so much suffering going on around us. And even so much suffering in our own minds once in a while or quite often. But our world also needs the enormity of stress and suffering to be balanced with gladness and joy and be able to laugh and be able to remember where we are right now, not to be able to step out of our fixation on what's going on in the world and let it be the reminder to really live, to appreciate this precious life. And the reason I said to have fun or be able to laugh, because I wanted to share this. One of my favorite poems that I've often shared on Tuesday night, but Jack Gilbert's poem, A Brief for the Defense. And I hope it's appropriate tonight. Sorrow everywhere. Slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they're starving somewhere else, with flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what life wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor women at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness of their future, smiling and laughing while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in the cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. We cannot do without we can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of the world. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. If the locomotive of life runs us down, we should give thanks that the end had magnitude. We must admit that there must be, will be music despite everything. We stand at the prow again of a small ship anchored late at night in the tiny port, looking over to the sleeping island. The waterfront is three shuttered cafes and one naked light burning. To hear the faint sound of oars in the silence as a rowboat comes slowly out and then goes back is truly worth all the years of sorrow that are to come. So just for the last few minutes, we can just stop and sit on our little boat of Dharma under our Bodhi tree and let ourselves feel the gladness of our existence and being together. And as we touch this single point, the Buddha called Ekagata, that single point that we touch when we're right here is the single point that includes everything, everyone. Touched by all life, right where it touches us. From this vantage point where we're connected to all things, we share our thoughts and prayers with the people of Japan, people touched all over the world by this disaster. And I'd like to just end finally with a letter that that Thich Nhat Hanh wrote to the people of Japan. And we can hold them in our hearts as we listen. Dear friends in Japan, as we contemplate the great number of people who have died in this tragedy, we may feel very strongly that we ourselves in some part or manner also have died. The pain of one part of humankind is the pain of the whole of humankind. And the human species and the planet Earth are one body. What happens to one part of the body happens to the whole body. An event such as this reminds us of the impermanent nature of our lives. It helps us remember that what's most important is to love each other, to be there for each other, and to treasure each moment we have that we are alive. This is the best we can do for those who have died. We can live in such a way that they continue beautifully in us. Here in France and at our practice centers all over the world, our brothers and sisters will continue to chant for you, sending you the energy of peace, healing, and protection. Our prayers are with you. May all beings everywhere be touched by caring. And may our practice tonight, any blessings, any goodness, anything from our practice, be dedicated to the welfare and benefit of all beings, especially tonight, the people of Japan. May all beings be free. Friend Anne has a brief announcement. I hope you can stay for a couple moments. Here's Anne. Anne Dietrich.
Thank you. Thank you, Howie Cohn. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to say I'm so touched by Howie's talk tonight, and we practice Dana here at our Sangha, which is a practice of generosity, and I'm thinking as I hear Howie talk about this night's tragedy that Howie has been here for 25 plus 6 years, and he's been here through many. He was here on September 11th with Eugene, and he brings us great peace and calm in these great turbulent times. So our practice of Dana is really a way of expressing our gratitude for his teachings, for the teachings of the Dhamma. And we have a basket over on the organ that you can practice financial Dana, but our Donna is also being here and helping put away and being just members of the Sangha. So whatever practice you feel moved to do tonight, we would appreciate it. And if you can't put money in the basket, we also have a button on our webpage for PayPal where you can donate that way. Or you can also write a check that is made out to St. John the Evangelist Church with a memo on the line to Mission Dhamma, so that would be a tax-deductible donation to our Sangha. So that all keeps us rolling and helps us be able to be here next week and through the next upheaval.
Next 26 years.
Next 26 years, each day at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Just while we're doing announcements, just want to make another reminder that I'll put it also on the listserv one of these days, but I have a day-long coming up at Spirit Rock on the 26th of this month. I think it's Saturday the 26th, the introduction to insight meditation. Good for experienced people, also for people, anyone who you know who you may want to turn on to a whole day of instructions and talks, etc. And it's a good way to get your feet wet, and for any of you, a good day to be out at Spirit Rock and immerse yourself in practice for a whole day, not just for an evening. So thank you for your presence here, your attention. Thanks for your support, and all beings are cheering you on for practicing. Thanks.